Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System. Christus Spahn Health System is making a multi-million dollar investment in the health of Coastal Bend families with a new shoreline tower featuring state-of-the-art life-saving medical technology for a growing community. More information is available at ourpathforward.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Live from Corpus Christi, Texas, welcome to the Cathedral Sunday Mass, where the gospel is proclaimed and our spirit refreshed by the real presence of the living God. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to see you on this Sunday, and to all those who are watching and listening via television or radio or streaming, we welcome each one of you to join us today in worshiping our God, giving Him full adoration, which means the adoration of our hearts, opening our hearts to His Word and to the sacrament of His love in the Eucharist. Let us now acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. Lord Jesus, you are mighty God and Prince of Peace. Lord, have mercy. You are Son of God and Son of Mary. Christ, have mercy. You are Word made flesh and splendor of the Father. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill.
Let us pray. O God, who have prepared for those who love you good things which no eye can see, fill our hearts, we pray, with the warmth of your love, so that loving you in all things and above all things, we may attain your promises which surpass every human desire. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. In those days, the princes said to the king, "Jeremiah ought to be put to death. He is demoralizing the soldiers who are left in this city and all the people by speaking such things to them. He is not interested in the welfare of our people, but in their ruin." King Zedekiah answered, "He is in your power." For the king could do nothing with them. And so they took Jeremiah and threw him into the cistern of Prince Malachiah, which was in the quarters of the guard, letting him down with ropes. There was no water in the cistern, only mud. And Jeremiah sank into the mud. Ebed-Melech, a court official, went there from the palace and said to him, "My lord king, these men have been at fault in all they have done to the prophet Jeremiah, casting him into the cistern. He will die of famine on the spot, for there is no more food in the city." Then the king ordered Ebed-Melech, the Cushite, to take three men along with him and draw the prophet Jeremiah out of the cistern before he should die. The word of the Lord.
Deliver, O my God, hold not back.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us and persevere in running the race that lies before us, while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. For the sake of the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider how he endured such opposition from sinners, in order that you may not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O
Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided. Three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
couple of months ago, my brothers and sister got together to go through my mother's things after she died about 3-4 years ago. And so much was left over, so where is the logical place to put it? Well, Corpus Christi, Texas, where Michael has nothing to do, he has no children to look after. He's got a lot of time to go through all of these things. So I've been waiting 4 months, and my vacation was interrupted last week. I had to return home. So I started going through pictures after pictures after pictures and letters. But it was also a very beautiful thing, because I found letters that were written to my great-grandparents when they left Norway as young people in the 1880s, never to return home, never to see their family again. Everything was through letters. But there was another picture of someone who I personally knew. Some of you here in Corpus may have known her as well. She was my grandmother's sister, who was in the Poor Clare Monastery in New Orleans and then here in Corpus Christi, and ended up in the Diocese of Austin. Aunt Etta to us, or Sister Margaret Mary, in the Poor Clare Monastery. She made a decision when she was a young woman with a fire in her soul. And I can say that because she was a fiery person. She was a pop star in those days on the radio in Houston and Galveston with an incredibly beautiful voice. She was head of every organization she could get her hands on. She was the life of the party. She was very involved with the church and with her friends in Houston and Galveston. But there was a deeper fire in her soul, because she felt a vocation to be a religious, to give her life to God. She traveled around the U.S., at least parts of it, in a train to try to see what congregation God was calling her to. And to the surprise of everyone, she ended up in New Orleans at the Poor Clare Monastery on Henry Clay Avenue. She came home to Houston and told her parents she was returning there. Her father, my great-grandfather, said to her, "Etta, if you leave and go, you will never see me again." My grandmother used to speak of the day that they surrounded the car that took her to the train with him there, with a kiss on the cheek, saying, "I'll never see you again." And he didn't, and she never saw him again. But she persevered through 55 years of religious life. When the book of Hebrews says to look around us at the host of witnesses, it's people like that in our daily lives. We can look at the great saints, but let's not forget that on November 1st, we celebrate All Saints. And I would imagine that in each one of our lives, we could look around and see someone or some group of people that express the fact that they have been lit by the fire that Jesus came to bring to earth. What is that fire? Jesus said, "I have come to bring fire on the earth." And how I wish it was already blazing. The fire, we could speak about many things, but the reality is that the fire is the fire of the love of God. What Jesus brought that was new was that the love of God, which can be expressed by all of us in many ways, is not disjointed from the love of neighbor. St. John in his first letter says, "Whoever says they love God but turns their back on their neighbor is a liar." Because how can you love the God you cannot see if you cannot love the neighbor, you can see. Love of God and love of neighbor. This is what ignites our life. This is what calls us to decisions with our life. So often we can live in a kind of comfort zone, even in our faith. I follow the rules. I don't kill anybody. I attend Mass on Sunday. We can name all of the things. We can name all the formulas. But the real question, especially for us today, as we experience so much tragedy in the church and in our society, what about that neighbor? What about those people? What about those others that are not in my comfort zone or my relational group of people? Our faith today, more than ever, because we are under an epical change, where does the gospel fit? Where does the fire that Jesus came to bring fit in my world today? The world that I live in, but sometimes the world that I create, my comfort zone. Where does the fire of the gospel reach? And it's not just love of God and love of neighbor. That's the core. But everything that Jesus says emanates from there. When he talks about the Good Samaritan who picked up the man he didn't even know on the side of the street that had been attacked by robbers, and someone who didn't even know picked him up, took him, and took care of him. And Jesus says, that's my neighbor. That's what makes us at times uncomfortable. And what about those family people that we've not spoken to for years? That we've ignored, that we've gossiped about, that we talk about. And yet they're baptized in the exact same waters we are of baptism. They're our brothers and sisters, beyond the blood that we have together, but the spirit that we share together. Where are they on our journey as pilgrims to heaven? Criticized, laughed at, gossiped, ignored? Is that the fire that Jesus calls us to? You see, when we hear these things, all of us are uncomfortable because each one of us can think of someone or some group. We're all uncomfortable today in this world. And yet, let's not turn our backs on the gospel that we have embraced and that we are called to live so that it will set us free. To run the race, as St. Paul so often speaks of and speaks of today, we have to be unburdened. We have to be unburdened by what? By our sins, by our blindness, by our selfishness, by our lack of care, whatever it is, and each one of us has to name it ourselves. What is our sin? Because that is what burdens us. That's what puts out the fire in our life. And as we look at that host of witnesses, some that we know, some that we've never heard of, but we've read about, let's look at them as big brothers and sisters who can help us through their own example to unburden ourselves with what we have created, what we have chosen in our life to follow, that's not in conformity with the fire of Jesus Christ, to love God and to love your neighbor. Jesus never involved himself in the different sides of an argument. He stood there as the truth. When Pilate tried to label him, they say you're a king. He said, well, you said that, I didn't say that. We try to label situations, we try to label people. But Jesus simply said, I came to bring the fire. And what will it do? It will cause discomfort because it will also cause division. He didn't come to bring division. He came to bring the fire. But it's the fire, the love of God, the commandments of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, the word of God, that lived causes the divisions. In my own aunt's situation, I think of that often. The division that it created between her and her father. But I also know from letters and from testimony that they never stopped loving one another. They wrote letters to each other. He probably never understood. It was never meant to understand. But she, through the light of the gospel, could understand him. She never rejected him. He never rejected her. The gospel calls us, brothers and sisters, even in the most uncomfortable situations, whether it be in family, as a nation, as a world. Whatever the situation and however uncomfortable it makes us, we have to turn to the fire. What did Jesus say? What did he tell us? It all begins for us as Christians from that font where we were all baptized. We were baptized into Jesus Christ, which means we were baptized into a way of life, a pilgrimage, which for Jesus himself in the book of Hebrews, he would have to embrace suffering. He would have to embrace the cross, and he didn't shy away from it. He didn't ignore it. He didn't wish it away. He embraced it. And through that suffering, he was formed by the Father into the obedient Son that he was. And it was that obedient Son that redeemed us. It was Mary who did not run from the cross as the apostles did, but she embraced it. She stood there as a bold, loving mother. And in that, she became our mother. Sisters and brothers, these are the host of witnesses that we need to look at today as we face family situations, as we face situations in our country, in our world, in our church. We need to be firm in our faith and live our faith well. When I used to write to Aunt Etta in the seminary years ago, she'd write back very promptly, at least in those days. Getting across the ocean in the Italian post was a little different. That means about a month later. But there was always a word that was in her letters that spoke to me, and that was perseverance. She always wrote, pray for perseverance. In other words, don't give up. Let's not give up on our church. Let's not give up on the beauty of family life. Let's not give up on those who have sinned and made mistakes and have done horrible things. Let's not give up on our brothers and sisters who are hurting in different parts of the world. Let's seek solutions. Let's pray that the Word of God will enlighten all of us to make good decisions, and in those decisions to really express who we are as disciples of Jesus Christ. The ultimate goal of every Christian is to become another Christ. Not to be a good person, but to be more than that. To be another Jesus Christ walking the face of this earth. Let's persevere in running the race. Let's persevere in our pilgrimage to take every word of God and make it real in our daily experience. And now, as people on the journey of the pilgrimage of life, let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one angel with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us men and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. By the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Now, filled with hope in our Father, who lifts us up and sustains us throughout our pilgrimage of life, we call to mind our needs and the needs of those around us.
For Pope Francis and all the leaders of our church, that they may be blessed with courage and resolve in guiding the church ever closer to the kingdom, we pray to the Lord. For those who speak out against injustice in the spirit of the prophets like Jeremiah, that they may be kept safe from harm and hopelessness, we pray to the Lord. We pray for an end to gun violence of all kinds in our country, and for victims and those who mourn them, we pray to the Lord. Especially for all who are undergoing trials of hardship, that they may not grow weary or lose heart, we pray to the Lord. That the Lord give members of our military courage and strength against all enemies, both spiritual and physical, and hasten their safe journey back to their homes and loved ones, we pray to the Lord. For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Norma Irma Klarich, Marcelino B. Gonzalez, Jesusita J. Canales, Delia Farias, Ruben Moreno, Calvin Lawson, Vicente Dávalos Miscala, and Cruz Lara Garcia, we pray to the Lord. Now, my dear friends, for all those prayers that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of these, our private needs, let us pray to the Lord.
Merciful God, you protected your chosen ones in the face of evil and confronted them when they were afraid. Protect us and comfort us today as we look to bring your kingdom to completion. We ask you to hear these prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Come and follow me if I but call.
brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Receive our oblation, O Lord, by which is brought about a glorious exchange, that by offering what you have given, we may merit to receive your very self. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For when your children were scattered afar by sin, through the blood of your Son and the power of the Spirit, you gathered them again to yourself, that a people formed as one by the unity of the Trinity, made the body of Christ and the temple of the Holy Spirit, might, to the praise of your manifold wisdom, be manifest as the church. And so, in company with the choirs of angels, we praise you, and with joy we proclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, me, your unworthy servant, and all the clergy.
Remember all our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, blessed Joseph, her spouse, your blessed apostles, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, may we merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. And now together we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Peace. Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord, I am not worthy.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Father Pete Alisadro, Rector of the Corpus Christi Cathedral. And on behalf of Bishop Mulvey and the Cathedral family, we want to thank you for joining us for the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. May God continue to bless you and all of your loved ones with His love, peace, and joy. And may you always know how we carry you always in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you and keep you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by Christus Spahn Health System, making a multi-million dollar investment in a new state-of-the-art shoreline tower. For more information on the region's most advanced medical center with skilled physicians and highly specialized services like trauma, heart, surgery, and urology all under one roof, log on to ourpathforward.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System for their continuing support of the Cathedral Sunday Mass. If you have been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.